The Christian's Last End, or Sermons on the Four Last Things, Death, Judgment, Hell, and Heaven, by Father Francis Hunault, translated from the original German edition of Cologne, 1740, by Father J. Allen. Empire Martyr, Bishop James D. Ricards. Copyright. On the Consideration of Eternity. Priest on the Feast of the Circumcision. And after 8 days were accomplished, St. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Introduction. In the beginning of the academical year, parents and guardians are wont to seek out an intelligent and suitable preceptor and teacher to instruct and train their children, for they are well aware that that is a most important matter. Similar, nay, greater, my dear brethren, is the care that urges me to regard with regard to your immortal souls. A new year has begun, the old has passed away. This new year, and perhaps 10, 20, 30, 40, and more, shall pass away before it will be said of us, time shall be no longer, and a long, unbounded eternity shall follow. In the beginning of last year, I wished you a good time. To explain now and improve on this wish, I desire for each and every one of you with all my heart, along with a year filled with blessings, a happy eternity. And that my wish may turn out well and happily for you all, I will now propose that same eternity to you as a master and teacher. What an excellent teacher it is, I shall explain in the first part. What solitary doctrine this teacher will give to each one in every state of life shall follow in the second part. It is a consoling subject for the pious, solitary for the wicked, good for all. Immortal, eternal God, you art from all time and shalt be always. Enlighten our minds through the Mother of thy Son and the intercession of our holy angels, who attend on thee in eternal joys, that we may understand even one small point of the vast eternity, and so understand it that we may be induced to lead such a life as shall bring us a happy eternity. St. John Chrysostom supplies me with a very apt simile for my subject. Go with me, he says, although not exactly in those words, yet with the same meaning. Go with me in thought into a school where a number of little boys are sitting together. The master is not present, or has just been called out. Now look through the cracks in the door and see what takes place. Talking, laughing, chattering is the least mischief they do. They run here and there like a swarm of bees. Books, paper, inkstands, hats, whatever comes first to hand, flies from one to the other, and there is an uproar as if the whole building were at the point of being turned inside out. What is the cause of that? Why are the children so unruly? They are not sent to school by their parents for that purpose, but rather to learn and to use their precious time in diligent study. And the duty of study is preached to them so often by their masters as well as by their parents. Yes, indeed, it is easier to talk of preaching and learning. They trouble their heads little about such things. They are children and act like children. We ourselves were the same when we were young. But wait a while. See how any moment they become as quiet as possible. It seems as if not even a mouse were stirring in the room. One snatches up an open book, another scratches his pen over the paper, although there is no ink in it. Others say over their lessons very diligently to themselves. One would think that they were bent on learning all the sciences in one day. They all sat in their places with downcast eyes, on their best behavior. They seemed to be so many good angels. Not one stirs or makes the least noise. What is the reason of the sudden change? One man alone has caused it. The teacher has opened the door and walks in with an angry and frowning face. That is enough. There is an end now to all the mischief. See there, continues St. Chrysostom, how it is with us mortals. Our evil inclinations, passions, and desires, of which a considerable number are found in every man, are not a whit better, nay, they are far worse than unruly children who have no sense, who never allow themselves to be directed by right reason. The teacher and master who can best hold them in check is the consideration of the last things, of the eternity that is approaching. The mistress of rule and discipline, says the saint. When this teacher turns his back and finds no place in the mind through want of reliable and vigorous faith, there is little good to be hoped for, and hardly anything else to be expected but that the soul in its wantonness and perversity will go to eternal ruin. And in fact, my dear brethren, to speak seriously of the matter, how comes it that most men are so stupid and careless of their souls, so little troubled about their salvation, so cold and tepid in the service of God, so apt to squander the years of their lives in sin? How is it that there are so many confessions, but so little amendment? That, true, Christian virtue and holiness are so rare, while vice flourishes everywhere. And therefore, of all those who are called to heaven, so few get there, while there is such a great number who go to hell. Perhaps we do not believe that after this life another awaits us, which is eternal. But at all events, among Catholics, there is no one who does not profess to believe this. Do we perhaps not know to what end we are created, and why we are sent by God on this world? But no one is ignorant of that either. There are preachers, spiritual books, teachers, and instructors enough to remind us of these things and impress them on us incessantly. Have we perhaps no pleasure in the thought of the delights of heaven, no fear or horror of the torments of hell? Even here there is no want. No one is so foolish as to wish to be damned. No one so silly as not to be delighted at the thought of the joys of heaven. No one so despairing as not to hope and wish to be saved. What, then, is the cause of our being so dilatory in the important affair of our salvation? Whence this dissipation of mind on our part? We are like the little children. The teacher is not at home. Eternity and what it has in store for us is excluded from our thoughts. With desolation is all the land made desolate, says the prophet Jeremiah, because there is none that considereth in his heart. If we sometimes hear, read, or think of eternity, it is only in a superficial manner and cursorily. We do not take it to heart. We do not consider and ponder on it as we should. The mind, memory, imagination, the whole outward and inward man, generally speaking, is concentrated only on what we see with our eyes and touch with our hands. We are so absorbed by temporal goods that eternal things have no place nor room in our hearts. What we most fear and avoid are temporal misfortunes and calamities. We do not dare to reflect on the endless sufferings of eternity in order to inspire ourselves with a solitary horror of them. If we spent every day only the space of one or two miseraries in meditating with the penitent David and bringing this teacher before our minds, what a sudden change and amendment there would be in our lives. My eyes prevented the watches, says David of himself. I was troubled, and I spoke not, and I meditated in the night with my own heart. While others were sleeping, drinking, gambling, dancing, amusing themselves, I meditated with my own heart. And what, O holy prophet, was it that so interfered with your rest? Hear this, my dear brethren. I thought upon the days of old, and I had in my mind the eternal years. I thought at last of my past years and days, and saw how quickly they passed, and I brought my mind to hear on the future eternal years, and on how it would be with me then. Ah, said I to myself, will God then cast off forever, or will he never more be favorable again, or will he cut off his mercy forever? Alas, will God then perhaps reject me, and that forever? After this so short time of my life, shall I have reward and joys to expect, and that forever? This thought has made me at once examine my life and purify my heart. I was exercised, and I swept my spirit. I have swept out my conscience as with a broom. I have feared all my works. I have brought all my actions under a better system. And I said, now have I begun. This is a change of the right hand of the Most High. Now will I begin to serve my God better and to work more zealously for the long eternity that awaits me. This meditation has made bitter and tasteless to me all the joys and vanities of the world, and has made labor and austerity sweet and agreeable to me. Oh, I had in my mind the eternal years. Would that they made the right impression on our hearts also. Would that we only deeply considered and pondered on this. I am living here. Where? On earth, as one banished into a poor, miserable land, like a stranger and sojourner, I am lent to earth only for a time, and not for all time. How long have I lived already? 20, 30, 40, 50 or more years have elapsed since my birth. Where has that time gone to? It has gone like a shadow that has vanished, like a ship that leaves no trace of its course, like a bird that flies through the air, and no man can tell whither it goes, like a flash of lightning that appears, and at once we lose sight of it. How long have I to live still? That I cannot tell. Perhaps my life will soon come to an end, even if it lasts for 40 or 100 years longer. All this time shall pass away like the former years. Sooner or later, the end of my life must come. Sooner or later, I must say, goodbye, house and home. Goodbye, pleasures and property, honors and offices of this world. Another will be your master. Goodbye, parents and children, dear friends and acquaintances. I am going away from here. Where? My body is going to the tomb. But what of the soul? Shall it also be destroyed with the body, like the dumb beast? No, for it is immortal. Where shall it go, then? Man shall go into the house of his eternity. Such is the answer of the wise man. He, the soul, shall go into eternity. Into what eternity? Into the house of his eternity. Each one into that which he has deserved here. How many eternities are there? Only two. One that exceeds all our imaginations of happiness, another that consists in all imaginable miseries. One of these two I must of necessity have as my lot. One of the two, cries out Saint Bernard in terror, either to be tormented with the wicked, or to rejoice forever with the saints. Ah, always, always, a little word, but how much it contains. When I am once surrounded by thee, O eternity, if I shed a single tear only once in 100,000 years, and shed enough of them to fill the ocean and the whole world, there shall then be an end of my eternity? No, I shall then continue as in the beginning to burn as I am in hell. Not even then shall there be an end to my joys if I am in heaven. But, O my God, shall I not be able for once to change one eternity for the other? Oh, no, where he falls, shall it be, to the south or to the if I am happy, I shall be for all eternity as long as God is God. If I am once unhappy in hell, I shall be so for eternity as long as God is God. It depends on me now which of these two eternities I shall choose. It depends on my life, whether I lead a good or a bad one, on a life of which I cannot say that it will last to the end of this day, on a life that is measured by short, uncertain years. Can I venture to say that I shall be able to burn in hell forever, without hope or of release? Oh, God forbid! No, I cannot hold a burning coal in my hand for a quarter of an hour. A pain in the head or tooth at night makes me think the night is a year long. Why, then, should I not so live for a short time as to escape terrible torments forever? Should I not readily make up my mind to be happy with God and his angels for eternity, without any fear of my happiness coming to an end? Oh, truly! Would I were there already! I desire and wish for nothing else but my eternal welfare. Why, then, should I not live for a short time so as to gain eternal joys? Would not these thoughts, my dear brethren, if we frequently and deeply pondered on them, leave behind a most solitary impression on our hearts? Could we then continue to live as people generally live in the world? Would it be possible that so many vices should be indulged in so freely, which are now practiced without the least sense of shame and for the most trivial causes? Carnal pleasure that I have enjoyed by momentary voluntary thought, by an impure look, by an unlawful love, by an indecent act, what a short time thou hast lasted! Long ago thou art vanished, and yet, on that account, I shall perhaps for all eternity be deprived of the indescribable joys of heaven and burn in the pit of hell. Handful of gold that I have gained unjustly, how canst thou help me when time is over for me? But what wilt thou cost me in eternity? For thy sake I can and must, unless I repent and make due restitution, lose the joys of heaven forever, and suffer terrible poverty and want in hell. Drunkenness, what hast thou brought me in time? Thou hast perhaps shortened my already short life. And what dost thou prepare for me in eternity? A chalice full of the gall of dragons that I shall never be able to empty, along with a fierce hunger and devouring thirst, while without thee I could be forever saturated in the kingdom of my Lord. Secret hatred that I entertain against my neighbor, angry curse that I utter against him, and charitable talk by which I injure his good name, revenge by which I glut my anger against him, what misery you prepare for me. All I can expect from you is implacable anger, hatred, rage, malediction, with which I shall persecute myself for all eternity. Childish fear, foolish shame that closed my mouth in the confessional and prevented me from telling my sins candidly. What inheritance have I to expect from you? Everlasting shame and disgrace with the demons in hell. Although, if I had overcome myself for the space of 1 hour, Father, to speak truly to a man like myself, I might have enjoyed peace of conscience on earth and a throne of glory in heaven. Human respect, not to displease another, to keep someone as my friend, not to interrupt the enjoyment of my companions, to cause others to laugh, to imitate unlawful customs. Is it possible that for thy sake I have sacrificed heaven and condemned myself to hell forever? Yes, that happens daily and with thousands of reasoning beings. But would it happen so easily if our thoughts and minds were armed with the thought of eternity? Oh, no, that could not be. Not one would sin if he only thought of eternity when about to sin. God himself, the infallible truth, assures us of this. Remember thy last end, and thou shalt never sin. Otherwise we are mad and foolish, or else you do not believe in eternity. For there is no temptation so violent, no difficulty so great as not to be overcome by this thought, says Thomas a Kempis. Never can the servant of God be overcome in combat, overwhelmed by temporal trials, if he always keeps eternal goods and evils before his eyes. This is the solitary thought that fills the deserts with hermits and convents, with religious and virgins consecrated to God, whose object was to escape an unhappy and gain a happy eternity. This is the thought that encouraged so many thousands of martyrs to bear with patience, nay with joy, the most atrocious torments that tyrants could inflict on them. This was the thought that armed Saint Jerome with the hard stone with which he used to beat his breast, that placed the iron cross on the bare body of Saint William, kept Simon Stylites on top of a pillar for so many years, exposed to heat and weather, rain and snow. It is this thought of eternity moves holy servants of God to lose their goods and properties, and a thousand lives if they had them, rather than consent to sin. O faith, holy faith, art thou then no longer the same as thou formerly wert for good and pious Christians? Otherwise, how is it that thou hast so little power, such slight influence on the greater number, who in spite of thee continue to live in sin? O eternity, exclaimed St. Augustine, he who thinks of thee and does not repent is either without faith or without a heart. Yet believe, as they say, and that they have heart is ever from the eagerness which they pursue earthly and joyful good, sinful good. But they are wanting in his recollection. There is none that can sit in the heart. My dear brethren, if we wish to spend this year, in case God grants it to us, and all the rest of our lives in a pious and Christian manner, so as to gain in a happy eternity, then let us never forget this lesson, never neglect the warnings of this teacher. Let us often think of eternal things. It is a serious thought, I acknowledge it. There is no central comfort to be found in it, but is there less of truth in it on that account? Is the thought of less advantage or necessity? Shut your eyes to it as closely as you will. You cannot escape one of the two eternity. Will you be therefore in heaven if you go, or less miserable in hell if you should be doomed to eternal torments? Consider for a moment. The torments of hell is enough to terrify and frighten us to such an extent that we dare not meditate on it. What must it be actually to feel those dreadful torments forever? Is it not better then to go down to hell for a short time in thought, that we may not become living victims of eternal flames after this life? In all thy works remember thy last end, and thou shalt never sin. I shall address myself to people of different states in the second part. Gentlemen of the clergy and laity, in a few words I can say much to you, although you are well educated, and, as I trust, are well acquainted with the duties of your state. Yet I recommend you often to go to this teacher for a lesson. Every day, as long as you live, you should learn a short lesson from him. This will certainly not be of any hindrance to you in your spiritual or worldly duties. It will rather remind you of the beautiful words of St. Augustine. If they are thought prudent who manage affairs so as not to lose a few days, how foolish they must be who live as to lose the eternal day. That you may not be in the number of the latter, be diligent in the consideration of eternity, and whenever you are about to undertake anything, ask yourselves, what will this profit me for eternity? How will it help me to a happy eternity? And that way you shall learn so to act in every circumstance as to be great and noble lords with the Supreme Lord in his eternal kingdom. Married people, fathers and mothers of families, must I send you also to school and lay fresh burdens on your shoulders, although, as it is, you can hardly find an end to the countless cares and anxieties that fill your minds every day? Truly, you have enough to think of. But nevertheless, you should leave one little place in your minds for an earnest, serious thought of eternity. Hear the warning of St. Augustine. Know and understand that we are not Christians merely to be solicitous for this life alone, merely to see how we are to support ourselves and those under our care in a manner suitable to our state in life. Oh, my God, in that case, to no purpose wouldst thou have come down from heaven in order to teach us. To no purpose wouldst thou have proposed that heaven to us as our end and reward, if our thoughts had to be turned mostly on the means of preserving our short mortal life. You must know, then, that we are Christians, that we may always think of the next life and its eternal rewards. Therefore, God has placed you as masters and mistresses over your servants, as fathers and mothers over your children, that you may so rule and govern them as to bring their souls and your own to a happy eternity, and that none of them may be sent to hell through your fault. To the careful discharge of this duty, you will be animated by the teacher, eternity, if you only think of it often and seriously, and firmly resolve in your own minds, I will be happy for all eternity. I must and will have all belonging to me with me in heaven. To that end, I will often repeat the prayer of the Catholic Church. O God, the protector of all those who hope in thee, without whom nothing is lasting nor holy, shower down on us thy mercy, that under thy rule and guidance we may so pass through temporal goods as not to lose eternal joys. Unmarried men and women, not to frighten you, as you perhaps anticipate, what terrible thoughts of eternity I shall represent to you is none but pleasing colors. Any pleasure or delight, no matter how sweet, if too long protracted, becomes a pain and torment. What is more delightful to the ear than good music? But let it last for 8 or 9 consecutive hours, and you will get completely disgusted with it. People throng eagerly to the theater to gratify their eyes and ears. But if the play is too long, how they yawn and fidget and study their programmas to see if the end is near. And how pleased they are to be at the door again. It is a great comfort to lie at ease in a soft feather bed, but try, as St. Luwina did, to lie there for 3 hours in one position while awake, and ye will think you are suffering an intolerable martyrdom. How would it be if you were compelled to listen to the music, to look at the play, to lie in the soft bed for a whole year without change or interruption? It would be simply intolerable. Now you may reason in this way with yourselves. If even pleasure and recreation become a torment through length of time and want of change, what would be my feelings in that place where, without any comfort or alleviation or change, all kinds of pains and torments have their abode, and that forever? If you think it hard to listen to good music for a whole day, how should I bear the howlings and blasphemies of the damned for all eternity? If I cannot look at a delightful play for a day, how should I bear the hideous goblins and phantoms of hell for eternity? If I cannot lie for one night in a soft down bed without turning from one side to the other sometimes, how should I spend thousands of millions of years, all eternity, in the fire of hell, where the bed is a burning coals and the covering of flames of sulfur? Oh, my God, no! I am far too weak to stand that. The bare thought of that torment lasting forever is too much for me. I can never bear the actual pain itself. That thought will make you careful to avoid the occasions of sin, to shun all dangerous places and conversations, to mortify the outward senses, especially eyes and ears, so that you will do nothing, even in thought or desire, that might bring with it such a painful, intolerable eternity. Comfort and consolation for you, widows, orphans, desolate, sorrowful, and afflicted Christians. Joy and comfort, I say, you shall receive from this teacher, the meditation of eternity. For all the trials you now have to bear by divine ordination, oh, what a short and uncertain time they will last. But they shall be succeeded by an eternity of joys, which you, more than anyone else, can promise yourselves with certainty in that kingdom of which it is said, through many tribulations we enter into the kingdom of God. Provided you only bear your cross with patience for God's sake for a short time. Tell me, if God were to give one of you the choice either of living 900 years in this world in all kinds of delights, on condition of spending the first 5 years in a gloomy dungeon in all kinds of suffering, or passing the first 5 years in pleasure, and all the rest of the time in suffering and misery, which would you choose? If you had to select between the two things, and liberty of choice were allowed you, I do not think you would hesitate long, and that you would certainly prefer to suffer patiently for 5 years in order to spend the other 895 in pleasure. For what are 5 years compared to that vast number? And if during the first year or so you would feel the hunger and thirst somewhat keenly, you should soon learn to comfort yourself with the thought, oh, this will not last long. 5 years will soon come to an end, and then joy shall be my portion for a long time. And this thought should now, too, be your comfort and support. What are, I will not say, 5, but thousands and millions of years compared to eternity. They are nothing. Now you are promised a whole eternity of all imaginable delights if you only accept your cross willingly from the hand of God and bear without sin, without contentment, for the sake of heaven, for a few short years, of which perhaps not 20, nor 10, nor even 1 still remains to you. Therefore, whatever weak nature complains and murmurs against the will of God, say at once, this cannot last long. It will come, it will soon be over, like what preceded it, and then eternal joys shall come. You, work people in your shops, servants in your domestic duties, and peasants at your daily toil, should arm and encourage yourselves with the same thought. The days of our life are like the days of a hireling, as the Holy Ghost tells us by the prophet Job. See that poor man who has to bend down to the ground 100 times a day, and to toil and sweat till he exhausts his bodily strength. Yet he has some comfort in the midst, and in spite of the hard labor he must undergo. What is that? The hope of resting in the evening and receiving his well-earned wage. You too have to bear the heat and burden of the day, and to swallow many a bitter morsel while in service. But oh, rejoice at the approach of evening. Yet one thing I beg of you, let not the miserable wage you receive from your masters and mistresses be the end of your labor. Otherwise you would indeed be most wretched. You must look far higher, and not sell your work at such a low price. Every step you take, every movement of your hands can and must earn for you an eternal reward. Only be careful to keep in the state of grace, in the friendship of God, and offer your daily work to the Lord with a supernatural intention. Then you can rejoice in your hearts at the approach of evening, according to the words of the Lord in the Gospel to his steward. And when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, call the laborers and pay them their hire. What hire? An eternal reward in the kingdom of heaven. O eternity, O long eternity, come now and force thyself even with violence into the thoughts of those who do not wish to think on thee, namely to sinners, who are not yet minded to repent and earnestly to amend their sinful lives. Be not disturbed at my words, pious Christians. Open thyself, O heaven, and give them one glimpse of thy eternal joys, which they shall never taste if they continue to live as they are living now. Open wide thy jaws, O hell, and show them the terrible flames and everlasting torments into which they are wantonly hurling themselves. Torment day and night without rest or intermission their imaginations and consciences with thy ghastly horrors. Come forward, ye unhappy lost souls, and call out unceasingly into their ears that miserable cry of despair that the wise man tells us of. We fools, ah, silly accursed creatures that we are, what hath pride profited us, or what advantage hath the boasting of riches brought us? Despairing wretch that I am, what better am I now for the honor and esteem I enjoyed among men on earth? What good is my money to me now? What profit the short-lived miserable pleasures I enjoyed? Ah, these things are now past forever. All those things are passed away like a shadow and like a post that runneth on. In spite of them all, I am lost forever. And behold, they whom I formerly despised, whose piety I ridiculed as simplicity, they are now among the angels and the holy friends of God in the kingdom of heaven, while I must lie with the demons in the fire of hell. Therefore, we have erred. I must acknowledge, too, my eternal shame, that I have been wrong, ah, shamefully wrong. But what avails this tardy confession of mine? It is all up with me, once damned, damned forever. O heaven, joyful dwelling of the elect of God, thou mightest have been mine if I had but earnestly wished. I have lost thee forever. O God of infinite goodness, worthy of all love, I might have possessed thee and rejoiced with thee for all eternity. What hast thou not done to make me eternally happy? And now, for all eternity, I cannot have any part in thee. Against my own better knowledge, I must hate thee forever as my worst enemy, and curse and blaspheme thee. O men, O sinners, no matter how wicked you may be, whom I have left behind me on earth, and who still are in life, you may still, if you wish, gain heaven with all its joys. But there is no chance for me. I have already begun my unhappy eternity. I am lost forever. Parents, friends, brothers, and sisters, whom I loved formerly, your prayers and good works are of no good for me. For all eternity, I may not look for any comfort, hope, time, or mercy. All that remains to me now is weeping, misery, and despair. Hell is my everlasting dwelling. This fire kindled by the divine anger is the element in which I must live. God is my implacable enemy. Horrible demons are my companions, and eternity of intolerable torment my inheritance. Such are the cries of those wretched, hardened sinners. Is it then your wish one day to sing this joyful tune? Then, if such is your determination, go at once and associate yourself to that unhappy rabble of the damned. There is no other alternative for you for all eternity. But still, rather, should you make with me a far different resolution. Oh, no, merciful God, far from me be the folly of ever wishing to join in the despairing course of the damned. To be always with the demons in hell is much too hard a lot for me to endure, although I must humbly confess that I have often deserved it by my many and grievous sins. I thank thee for having borne with me so patiently and with such a long suffering in the past, and for having given me time to escape the danger of an unhappy eternity. Now I am determined not to defer repentance any longer. This very day I shall earnestly begin. I now heartily abominate and detest all my past offenses. I regret above all that I have so shamefully despised and offended thee, my God, worthy of all love. Receive me again into the arms of thy infinite mercy. For the future, I will serve thee alone with all my heart and strength, nor will I cease to serve thee until, as I hope, my happy eternity shall have begun, in which with thy elect I shall love, magnify, and praise thee forever. Amen.